What up, growers from around the world? Jordan River here. Thanks for tuning in to yet another episode of GrowCast on this Independence Day. Happy 4th of July. We've got a great episode for you on this holiday with Dr. Coco. Another episode of Ask Dr. Coco. It's a really great one. I know you're going to love it. Remember, membership is open at mygrowpass.com, but only until July 9th. That's 5 days from now. We are closing. Also, anyone who joins up instantly is entered into our new member giveaway, and we're really excited about this new member prize pack. We've got Grassman Genetics in the prize pack. We've got a limited edition Wolfman shirt. We've got Harvest Mutual seeds. We've got all sorts of swag and grow gear, a Newt Brewer from Newt Tools, Sweet Leaf Nutrients. You're going to love this new member prize pack, and that's only for those who join up before July 9th. So tomorrow, Dr. Coco is going to be hopping in our Slack chat to talk about today's episode and to wrap with you listeners. Make sure to go to growcastpodcast.com/action and scroll down to the Slack chat. Join our community. It's our little GrowCast community up there. You'll also find that in our IG bio link. Check it out, everybody. Before we jump into today's show, let me tell you about a brand new partner that I'm so excited about. JackGreensGardenProducts.com. Jack Green's Garden Products. That's right. HH listener for 10% off. That's the code you can use to receive 10% off just as a listener. And members of mygrowpass.com get 25% off all of Jack Green's natural garden products. Jack Green's Garden Products is our new partner for integrated pest management and so much more. Jack Green was inspired by the Korean natural farming movement, started in the 60s by Master Cho. The modern agriculture model is causing severe damage to our climate and our planet. Well, Jack Green's garden products are here to change that. Their products strive to serve the regenerative agricultural system with natural solutions, and they feature soil conditioners and plant sprays, pesticides, all sorts of natural farming products. Check out their pest management solution. It's an herbal tea blend. JackGreensGardenProducts.com. HH listener for 10% off. MyGrowPass.com before July 9th for 25% off. This site and so much more. Let's get into Dr. Coco, everybody. Enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Please share GrowCast with a friend. Always share GrowCast. Check out the Homegrown Helpers by Rob Smith for more growing talk, and the Coffee Health and Science podcast, my other show. Right into the episode, right into the Ask Dr. Coco. What's going on, my friend?
Oh, you know, lots of fun things these days. I've been testing lights, and I've been posting some new test reports. I'm getting some new tests in from Shane at MyGrow as well. And we're getting all of those posted up on our Grow Light guide at Coco for Cannabis. But yeah, I've been having fun with that, learning a lot of really interesting things, actually. I'm working on a video now with some tests that I ran with two of the Mars Hydro SP3000s and just how they work together and in different configurations and stuff. It's really interesting. You know, it conforms to what we predict from the laws of physics, but it's interesting to see it kind of play out in practice.
That's so cool.
So I've been pretty lost deep in that world. I also have some news for everybody out there in the GrowCast world. We have officially started our signups for our next Grow Challenge, which is going to be the PTGC, the Plant Training Grow Challenge.
Nice.
And we've got different groups organized around training styles. We're going to do a fun party cup challenge on the side. And we're going to try to get, you know, GrowCast and GrowPass members really involved in that challenge as well.
I'll be there. Honestly, Dr. Coco, I'm super interested in the party cup challenge. Like,
yeah, the party cup challenge is going to be fun, man. I am too. It's yeah.
Don't let Rob hear this, but I'm more interested in that than the plant training challenge. I'm just going to say it. I have the perfect strain for it too. I think this Keturah Kush is a perfect strain for a party cup challenge. And I think I'm going to be joining/focusing in on that.
Yeah. You know what? I think a lot of people are going to end up doing that. It's like when you have, like, you know, the special child, they get all the attention, right? So I think that is going to be it's all I can think about in terms of that grow is sort of like how to set up for the party cup and how am I going to fertigate it and when am I going to start it? Because I mean, growing them together with the full-size plants. And the thing with this challenge is we've decided to be flexible with the start date, but we want everybody to try to coordinate the start of flowering. So the start of flowering is October 1st. And that means if you're growing photo period plants, you want to flip on October 1st. If you are growing autos, you want to try to time your germination so that they start their flowering cycle on October 1st. So everybody can be kind of lined up that way. But I'm thinking I'm going to be growing at least one big plant in a regular size container, maybe two. I don't know. I'm thinking about downsizing to a 2x4 tent too. So we'll sort of see what happens out of all of this. But those plants I'm going to start probably in mid-August with a bunch of growers, veg them out for several weeks, train them into a main line. And then sometime in like mid-September, I'm going to start the party cup plant.
Nice.
You know, I don't want it to veg for 4 or 5 weeks before flipping it in a party cup.
This segues nicely into some points that I want to bring up. So I'm just going to frame out the episode. I want to talk about our grows, ask you some questions about yours, give you some questions about mine. Then I want to jump into the questions really quick. We have two main questions. One more of an exploration of the light work that you've been doing. And then another question following up about long-term storage. A bunch of people reaching out about that, specifically some nitrogen flushing questions. So to back it up, you mentioned timing flowering. You mentioned timing the auto flowers. One thing with this challenge, Dr. Coco, and switching from a full-time grower to now so many years later, a part-time grower, my grow is going really, really slow because I'm not giving it as much attention as I should. I've had a bunch of mistakes and slip-ups, some out of my control, most within my control. My CMH light came broken. I had to go back in light to T5 for a while. I got my metal halide bulb and I forgot to take the film off my reflector and it fell on the bulb and melted. So I had to switch to HPS. I had to dim the HPS at a certain point and I forgot to undim it.
I've actually done that same thing, not to that extent, but I have left the film on a reflector before. And like a couple days later, looked up and I'm like, why does it say remove before use? What the hell is that all about? And well, I'm like, oh crap.
It's really funny because, like, as people know, I started my big operation in 2010. Pardon the thunder. I'm recording in a storm right now. 10 years ago, and I bought reflectors one time. And I bought 16 of them and I took that film off and I never thought about it again. And here I am. I literally, Dr. Coco, I hate even talking about it, but I'm so lucky that I was sitting in the room. I smelt it when it started burning and I just ran over there and took care of it right away. Someone told me that it just
ruined the bulb.
Yeah. It ruined the bulb completely. It was like fused to the bulb. It was all fucked up. Someone said that it would just burn off. And I imagine that they probably think of this sort of thing and that it wouldn't start a fire, I hope, but I was worried because I smelled burning. I ran over there. It was smoking.
Yeah. You don't want that. I mean, you don't want something getting trapping so much heat on the glass bulb.
Probably going to explode it, right?
It could. And yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to just sort of like turn it on full blast and let it burn off.
That's what someone told me. And I was like, dude, that sounds like a terrible idea.
It seems like a high risk idea. It also seems like you're going to be, I mean, I'd want to take it outside or something first. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be burning off that plastic in my sort of living
space.
That's
the thing. It stank. Yeah. So that was a big mistake. But more importantly, I'm saying all these things added up to my plant should be much farther along. I've only topped them once. I could have probably, if I had my shit on point and hadn't fed them the tap water that I didn't do bottled water once and it fucked them up. So I'm saying, I think it's challenging to, as a part-time grower, to stay on top of all those things and keep things on a schedule. You know what I mean? And I'm learning that now.
For sure. Yeah. Well, that's what we wanted to sort of be. I mean, there's no perfect way, right? You're never going to be able to sort of perfectly get everybody coordinated in the flowering period. But when we all start on the same day, when we have one germination day, which we always do for the New Year's Flower Challenge and for the Spring Autoflower Challenge, people end up being sort of very different from each other, right? So we thought that giving them at least a little bit, like if you suspect, you know, I'd like more time to be able to veg my plants, then start in early August and give yourself, you know, a couple of months. Just start in July if you want to. That sort of side of it is fine. There's a lot of other people that only want 3 weeks of veg time, and it becomes sort of a management problem if we say you have to start on August 15th and flip to flowering on October 1st, like my plants will be too large by then. It's never going to be perfect, and we're not going to hold you to it. If you need more time and October 1st is there, it's not going to be
not allowed in the challenge. Get out of here.
We're coming over and unplugging your lights. No, so, you know, there's always that flexibility, but that's the goal, is to try to sort of get people better aligned, and that'll keep things better at the end. You know, I have a whole group that's helping me out with this challenge, with the next one, the Plant Training Grow Challenge. I got Michelangelo Grows and sort of helping coordinate things.
Nice.
OC Man is, or OC Grower, yeah, is doing the Party Cup Challenge. We got Oz Bucket is coordinating our prizes. We're going to have a lot of cool prizes, sort of related to the fact that I'm doing grow light testing. So the Party Cup Grow is going to have a cool new grow light attached to sort of whoever gets the nicest, party cup plant. We normally don't do a sort of nicest plant prize.
Sick, man.
With that one. Yeah.
Your growers are talented, man. Your pictures of the week look amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm always proud of those guys and girls for the plants that they produce. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, some of them are going on to homegrown helpers with Rob these days. So make sure everybody goes over and checks out
Hell
those
yeah.
episodes.
That's awesome. Man.
Some of our community members from Cocoa for Cannabis getting interviewed by our good friend Rob Smith.
Yeah, I was chatting with Michelangelo, and he has some cool plant training that I wanted to chat to him about maybe on this show. So you can expect some community members maybe on GrowCast as well. But you would be laughing, Dr. Coco, because one of the setbacks was overwatering during my grow, but I'm happy with the way it's going overall, so stay tuned for those updates. We were talking off-air about your grow, though. Can you update my listeners on where you're at with your status, and then talk about the automation you got going, man?
Yeah. I was joking with you before we came on the air that I think I've only opened my tent once in the last 3 weeks. is I'll wait for everybody to sort of recover from their shock and horror. But I will, in my defense, I have a camera. So I'm not like totally flying blind. I watch them all the time. In fact, I'm going to open the camera. I'm going to check on them right now.
Nice.
They're looking really good, man. The Think Different. Last time I grew Think Different, it got sort of buried by another plant that was just sort of way too vigorous, and it ended up really not producing much, but man, it looks really good this time. I only have three plants. There's enough room for them. They're well sort of supported. There's plenty of light. They're not growing vertically anymore. They're on an automatic watering system, and I can tell, by the downstairs neighbors complaining if I had a water leak. No, I can see things like that on the camera. So, a lot of people hear about sort of how I grow or how we grow in Cocoa and feel like it's going to be a tremendous amount of work.
Right.
And really, once you get the system dialed in, and especially once you're sort of into the flowering period, this is all sort of late veg time or late flowering time for me. So it's the boring part of the grow, right? The plants are just sort of bulking up their flowers, but they're not moving around. They're not sort of growing vertically anymore. You don't have to keep raising the lights anymore at this point. And with the automatic watering system, it provides that sort of watering for them. Earlier on in the grow, it does all of that stuff too, but I'm in there all the time training and tending to the plants, and I could be in there if I wanted to, but I really don't have to. And I've been really busy with other things.
So yeah, man, there's nothing wrong with that. That automation is killer. And it's funny, we just did an episode with Wolfman, and someone asked him about his dream grow, and me and him both described our dream grows, and they were so wildly different from each other. And, his being like large scale and synthetic and automated. He was talking about like automation, whereas mine is like more about like split rooms and content creation. And it was just funny that like automation didn't cross my mind in the least. And it just reveals again, the infinite complexities and infinite facets of the cultivation world. And everybody just has their different priorities and their different values and their different intentions and goals, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, there's different pros and cons of doing automation or not doing automation.
Sure.
But yeah, it all gets back to some of our goals that we have.
What makes you happy?
One of the things what makes you happy? And one of the things that I like about this is it doesn't prevent me from doing anything by hand.
Right.
It doesn't stop me from going in there and hand watering or, you know, spending time with the plants or sort of talking to them and touching them and all of those things. But it means that I don't have to if I'm busy or if I, you know, other things come up. The plants don't depend on my physical presence.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And
that's
so
cool though, man. I was surprised and impressed to hear that you got the auto. And I guess that's one of the benefits of cocoa, right? As so many of these cocoa growers do incorporate automation, whereas it doesn't lend itself quite as well, the automation style, if you're in a setup like mine with an organic soil.
Yeah. You know, I have something and maybe I should send it to you to try. Maybe I'll do that. I have a automatic watering control system, that runs off of soil moisture.
Oh, I would love to try that, Dr. Coco. I love gifts like that, and that's exactly something I would look to try.
Yeah, so this thing has it's a weird thing. I mean, I don't know. I'd be interested to have somebody really put it through its paces in a multi-plant grow because there's only one sensor.
Oh.
So you put the sensor and it controls the whole system,
that
right?
Could be
so
tough with heavy feeders and light feeders though.
Exactly. So I think it's really designed for a clone run where all the plants are going to be really the same. I've talked to the engineers behind this product and that's what they're thinking.
Right.
Where all the plants are the same and they're getting the same amount of light or whatever. But it's a pretty cool thing. It's got a soil capacitor, sort of moisture meter. And you can set it, it's got a digital readout that you can set it for, you know, what moisture percentage to turn on at. And then once the meter reaches that level, it'll turn on the pump. So it's just basically a replacement for, I use a timer, right? In Cocoa, I can just set a timer for when I want that pump to go on. So this thing is just sort of a moisture meter replacement for that.
What's the brand name on that?
It's called Blue Buddy. And it's a new product. They sent me this as a prototype and asked me to review it, but it's not really the right sort of solution for what we do because we can grow and we can just have a timer. Timer only costs $50.
You can never oversaturate up on your high horse made
it's
of cocoa
really
fiber.
More important for I mean, it's fine. We don't gain, I don't think a lot in terms of management by watering based on sort of container moisture percentage. I actually talked to them. I thought it would be more interesting to have that meter measure electrical conductivity and have it trigger the automatic.
Oh, damn, that's smart.
Electrical conductivity. But to be perfectly honest with you, these are all in cocoa. They're all really expensive replacements for your perfectly good digital
right.
time.
Ace hardware. Yeah, good point. That's a good point.
It works fine.
It works fine, yeah.
There's basically one digital timer that I've found. It's a Near Pro. I recommend it in my guides and in the tutorial in the automatic watering system, but it does events in seconds. It only costs like $15. Go check it out. It's in our product guide. And it's really cool because, I set my fertigation because I have a lot of events. I fertigate 5 times a day, but they're only 27 seconds long.
Oh, damn. So you can't use a manual little push down?
No. I'm precise to the second. You're right. I changed
27 second fertigation.
It used to be 25 seconds fertigation.
Until you perfected it.
Well, it becomes so easy to dial in because then
that's
I can
so cool.
just monitor the cumulative runoff per day and the cumulative water amounts. And I realize, you know, I want a little bit more runoff So I'm going to increase it by 2 seconds each event. And it worked perfectly. I got it. It's sort of exactly the balance that I wanted to. And that's one of the other real advantages of automation, I would argue. When I hand water, I waste a lot more than when I auto water.
Sure.
Because the auto water can deliver sort of much more controlled quantities of water each time. And it can do it on a much more precise schedule. So I end up with a lot less runoff.
Yeah, that makes sense. Before we return to the Coco Man, shout out to AC Infinity, the best inline duct fans for cannabis growing. ACInfinity.com is where you can find them. GrowCast 15 saves you 15%. You will not regret it. You will absolutely love the new Cloudline series. They've got smart fans. They have 10 fan speeds. They'll trigger the fan to turn on when it gets to a certain temperature or humidity point, or just a traditional timer. You even get alarms. These smart fans are the best. They're whisper quiet too. They've got a special PWM pulse width modulation controlled EC motor, and that pulses down the motor instead of reducing voltage, which is much, much better. It makes your fan last longer. You've heard Wolfman talk about that. AC Infinity fans, truly one of my favorite partners. GrowCast 15 for 15% off the best fans you can find for cannabis growing at acinfinity.com. Thank you, AC Infinity, for everything you do. We appreciate you here at GrowCast. All right, let's get back to Dr. Coco. And I want to get into these questions, but I do want to say I don't want to make it sound like it's just been nothing but mistakes this run. My plants are healthy, they're lush, and I got to tell you, Dr. Coco, starting the super soil run, I'm never going back to the bottle. It is so easy and fun to just water in some nice, not tap water, I've learned, some nice bottled water in my case, because Algonquin's so shitty until I get a filtration system. It's been crazy easy. It's been crazy fun, and my plants have been really healthy. Besides user error. So
watch those reflector films, man. That's the other thing. You know, you got to find the method that works for you. We have a lot of members that grow like that in sort of super soil type methods, do water only irrigation.
I admire your style.
And I agree.
It's
fun and it's a cool way to grow. I definitely think we sort of grow past you. But now there's different goals involved in this and we have different timings and other things like that. So,
oh my gosh, I have a whole different world
now. Style of growing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gardening at midnight now after doing 4 podcasts and playing poker all night. It's totally different than before.
That's like a tough life, man.
I know it's tough. It's really hard, Dr. Coco. It's an incredibly blessed life, but I used to have a different blessed life, which is I woke up in the morning and I had, 4 hours of work to do in the garden. 6 hours of work to do in the garden. So I had all day, but the list was longer. So you're exactly right, man. It's about your goals, your values, your life structure, and what makes you happy. So I seriously admire your type of situation, though. I just don't think it fits my brain style quite as much, but I love hearing you like.
Everybody's got to find their own style.
That's cool, man.
Absolutely. And I want to send that message to sort of all growers out there. You know, I certainly think there's several really awesome ways to grow cannabis. I don't think that there's only one way to do
if
it.
If you couldn't grow in cocoa tomorrow, what would you try?
Well,
DWC, I see you in a deep water culture.
I'm like, I'll grow in Tupper.
No cocoa allowed.
No cocoa allowed. You know, I probably would try. It depends on what I wanted to do. There's two really different things. To have fun and to sort of feel more like a gardener, I think I would go with the way that you're growing.
Oh, interesting.
I hesitate on that slightly just because I'm concerned about how much added electricity that would cost, especially, I deal with heat and other issues here. So I try to get sort of in and out with some of these processes. Mm. And one of my big considerations is speed. I like to flip to flowering in about a month, 5 weeks. And I mainline the plants. I grow big plants still in that time. So I want to keep things efficiently growing so I don't have to run the for several extra weeks, if that makes sense.
Yep, I'm living it. Yep. So I totally get it. But that's interesting. So I thought you were going to say like an aquaponics or like a DWC or something a little more.
I would do a DWC or maybe an NFT, or I'd play around with some other kind of hydroponic technique.
Flood table?
Nutrient film technique or film technique. Yeah, where you...
NFT. Suspend the
plants. NFT, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Okay. There's sort of interesting different ways to do that. I don't really think that those ways hold significant advantages in growth rate over cocoa. And I think that they're all a little bit sort of harder to manage than cocoa. So I think it's certainly easier to teach people how to grow in cocoa than how to do some of the other methods. But it would be the way to sort of keep the speed up. But I hear you in terms of the fun gardening. You know, when I had a suburban house with a backyard, we had an organic vegetable garden, and I loved going out there and getting my hands dirty and sort of thinking about ecology and all of the way about growing. I think there's something really satisfying and fulfilling to that. So that's what I'm talking about, right? There's different things in this for different people. And I don't think that it's really fair to argue that, you know, one style of growing is simply the best style.
I
think different ways have advantages for different things.
Yeah, that's why we love and accept you so much here at GrowCast. Listen, we got 15 minutes. I don't think we're going to be able to cover both of our topics. Do you want to do storage? We had some follow-up questions, or do you want to talk about lights?
Do I want to talk about lights? Of course I want to talk about lights.
Well, let's just jump right in there, man. What are your two
let's
most...
Let's talk about the... I don't want to blow over the nitrogen issues too. I don't have a terrible much to say about them.
Let's talk. Let's wrap. Okay, next time we'll dive into lights, and everyone just needs to go to cocoaforcannabis.com.
We'll get to lights. We'll tease something at lights with at least 5 minutes.
But I want to jump right into long-term storage, but not just nitrogen flushing quite yet. Cause first I want to shout out all of the people who wrote us and kindly as they could, were talking about vacuum sealing and crushing their buds. And basically four people wrote us and said like, hey, not hey, stupid, but like, hey, you do know that there are, mason jar attachments for
vacuum sealed jars. Yeah.
Didn't know that. I didn't know that. So of course that exists. How do you feel about those?
This really comes from sort of, I entered the conversation from a different sort of standpoint. I agree. I think that's
a good solution.
Effective solution.
Right. And again, we're kind of assuming that you're trying to do it in the process we're talking about, but we do appreciate when people follow up and say, hey, trying not to crush your buds, vacuum sealer attachment. So thank you to the like six people who shot us that Instagram message.
I'll endorse that method. I think that removing the oxygen in that way, while not sort of shrinking the physical space, is what we were, is sort of how I was thinking about it, rather than thinking in terms of specific products. And I had to solve that problem for a different reason that a mason jar really wouldn't have worked for. So I think the mason jar attachment for the vacuum sealer is really an awesome idea for long-term storage of cannabis.
So what was interesting is one of those people followed up with a question about nitrogen flushing, the act of replacing the air within a packaged container instead of having the standard air with oxygen in it. It's just pure nitrogen. And it prevents the item from being oxidized. I thought this was interesting, Dr. Coco, because of my work in coffee. And this is how Purity Coffee, one of the many crazy ways they keep their beans fresh, is they nitrogen flush all of their packaging. So they've actually done testing down at Vanderbilt with the scientists at the coffee lab. And they've observed what staling coffee does to the compounds within it. You would find this so fascinating. So there's many, many good compounds in coffee. Just like, you know, cannabis, same exact thing. And staling reduces a lot of them. Chlorogenic acid is one of the most powerful antioxidants there are, and it's super, super rich in coffee. The chlorogenic acids begin to dissipate if it oxidizes and stales. Trigonaline is another antioxidant compound.
Is that just a result of oxidization, or is that any kind of an interaction with ethylene or other sort of ripening gases?
That's a great question, because they do gas off, and people can tune into the Coffee Health and Science podcast and listen to Ildi talk about the gassing off process, because a lot of these bags aren't even sealed. So we don't really know exactly what's going on, but we know that because of the staling process, whatever that is, you get reduced in malic acid. A lot of them are acids, I'm realizing. Something about oxygen and these acids reduces it. So I don't know if that would give you any insight as far as the structure of a trichome, and maybe having a similar effect if we were to nitrogen flush that and maybe preserve it a little bit better. I mean, it's a best practice in the coffee world. Would it be a best practice in cannabis?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things that happen that I'm aware of that happen with and reasons why you would potentially want to do sort of storage of any kind of, plant product like coffee or cannabis or peaches or fruit or other things. It's used for things like peaches and fruit. And one of the reasons that it's used, first of all, removing the oxygen. So what we're talking about is taking out all of this sort of oxygen and replacing it with nitrogen. Bacteria can't live in that nitrogen environment. So if you're worried, one of the reasons that this could be helpful for all of these sort of crops is that it's essentially an antibacterial treatment, where you're rendering the sort of an inhospitable environment to bacteria.
Totally.
The other reason that it's used for fruits and vegetables, like I mentioned peaches, they'll store it in nitrogen, and they can better control the ripening process that way, which is largely dictated by ethylene gas and the concentration of ethylene gas.
Interesting.
And I didn't get very deep into sort of that chemistry there, but I don't believe that it's just a process that replacing it. I think it just makes it easier for them to manage the sort of concentration of ethylene gas in a nitrogen environment as opposed to an oxygen environment. Ethylene. That's why I brought it up in terms of the coffee. It plays a role in other ripening processes. There's not a lot of research on how ethylene potentially plays a role in cannabis sort of curing process that we're dealing with. But ethylene is a gas that fruit and gives off. It ripens fruit. That's sort of how it's most famous. It's responsible for the expression "one bad apple ruins the whole bunch."
Right.
Because as the fruit starts to ripen, it produces more and more of this ethylene gas,
which will
ripen the other fruit that's around with it. A lot of growers believe that burping the jars initially in the cure process is about that gas exchange issue, and ethylene would be sort of the gas that we would be most concerned about in that.
I didn't even think about that.
But there's almost no publicly available research on the role of ethylene gas in cannabis.
That's just total conjecture, but I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, it's all sort of borrowed from other industries and sort of our knowledge about how these things work in other industries, and we're trying to map it on to cannabis. But so I think I understand sort of the issues of how it helps the coffee. I think that there's potential there, especially the killing bacteria thing. I think that might be huge for some growers.
Patients.
Yeah, you know, I'm also thinking about the people that may know that they have an issue with like bud rot on some of their colas or something, and they still want to save the rest of the plant. Then maybe you're able to cure it in nitrogen, which would really make sure that any of the rest of that was, you know, effectively eliminated or at least killed.
That's interesting. Because
prevent spread of mold in that situation.
I was thinking kind of the customer facing side, like with the purity coffee, is they don't use nitrogen until they're packaging it for the customer, and then they seal it. So if that were to translate over to cannabis, that's almost like when the dispensary is packing up there. Because I've gotten some pretty old dark looking buds from the Illinois dispensary here that I'm wondering when they were harvested. And sometimes they put the harvest date on there. I think they're required to now, maybe, but yeah, that's what I was thinking. But interesting that you're actually thinking that it could be used as some sort of treatment almost.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that if you did this when you first sort of jarred up your buds was what I was thinking. You could potentially, well, when you got the humidity stable in the jars, I think that the burping process would still be really important to make sure that, you know, the buds were properly dried at the appropriate relative humidity. Mm-hmm. Or it's not relative humidity at that point. It's really at the appropriate moisture content in the flowers
within the body, yeah.
And at that point, I'm sort of imagining a system where then you put them into jars and replace the oxygen with nitrogen. Now, we started this conversation thinking about vacuum sealing the jars. I'm sort of the opinion that vacuum sealing would be better than sort of the nitrogen replacement in this, at least for those reasons, at least in terms of sort of the killing the bacteria, unless there's some interesting relationship between nitrogen gas in particular and ethylene, but there shouldn't be. Nitrogen is, you know, a neutral gas. So I think that, I don't know. It's interesting. But both of those strategies, I think, would accomplish similar ends.
Well, the other thing about the vacuum is vacuum seals, you can just do it again. You can just vacuum seal it again. It's like the nitrogen flushing is kind of, at least the way it's used in most industries, kind of a one and done type thing. It's getting sealed. And then when you open it, you're either going to eat it or it's going to be there at the store, whatever it is. It's kind of like a one shot thing. It's not like, hey, burp and replace. So I can see why the vacuum sealing.
Right.
Yeah. It's more practical.
Exactly. In either case, I wouldn't do it for continued burping, right? Once you vacuum sealed or once you sort of caked it in or packed it with nitrogen, that's for long-term storage at that point. That's those jars that you're not going to get to for a
I guess
while.
I'm thinking if you crack it open and you want to smoke some, but again, at that point you should have it in portions probably to where once you crack it open, that should be your smoke supply. So that's a good point. Yeah. It's not like you're re-vacuum sealing either.
It depends on who you are, what industry we're sort of fitting this to. But if you're a home grower and you have a harvest and say you harvest, you know, 24 jars of cannabis, 24 ounces or around there, and you got like two cases of jars, and this is going to be your personal supply, you know, you might just take a few of those jars and like, oh yeah, these are the ones I'm going to get to first. I would cure them at a lower relative humidity so they cure a little bit faster and become sort of better smoke faster, and then the other ones I might keep at a slightly higher relative humidity and, you know, put some of them in vacuum seals, the ones that I really wasn't going to get to for a while. That's sort of the application of this that I was thinking.
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's the situation that applies most. Listen, we got 5 minutes here. CocoaForCannabis.com, everything with the grow lights. You just put up two new tests, one with the Spider Farm and one with the Mars, correct?
Yeah. And I got a new one coming out around the time that this podcast will drop. I'm trying to get it. I think where this comes out on Saturday, and I'm going to try to get my next video out on Sunday. But I got, the SP3000, the Mars SP3000 tests were really impressive. So I did that. I dropped that video. Everybody should check that out. It's a really cool fixture. Has the Samsung LM301Bs and a Meanwell driver, and just produces a really good spread of light. I was impressed with that. I got a couple new fixtures in too. I'm going to be testing just to sort of round out the marketplace. I'm going to be testing the VPAR Spectra light coming up here VPAR shortly. VPAR Spectra, yeah. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, I thought it was I always say Viper, but I mean, Viper is not spelled with an A.
It's VIPAR. Yeah. I have no idea. I mean, there's not a sort of official pronunciation.
With these words that you read, you only read the word.
Yeah, I know.
Interesting, though, because I know that I'm not going to say anything. I'm excited to see the results.
I tested one of their Pro Series lights, which is sort of their top of the end market. I think they're most famous for their lower end blurple lights. They sort of flood the market with lower end blurple lights.
I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, that's what I know them for.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what Mars Hydro was known for too.
Yeah, until very, very recently. So
until very recently, and Mars Hydro has really sort of stepped up their game. I think that the SP3000 now competes with the best fixtures on the market.
No shit. That's crazy, man. Yeah. Everyone go check that out. CocoaForCannabis.com, all the grow light guides. Join up in the challenges.
YouTube channel.
channel. Everything that's going on, you know what to do, and you'll hear more. Ask Dr. Coco. We got through one question at least, Dr.
And look
Coco.
For this new video. It's fun. So what I did, I got two of the SP3000s. I tested them in different shapes and different size grow areas. And I kind of used it as an opportunity to talk about some of the physics of light and what happens when you put a light in sort of too large of a grow space, or what happens when you run two lights side by side. It was really interesting to have two of these lights in a 4x4 fixture in a 4x4 space rather than one in a 2x4 space.
Right.
And I think most growers would think, you know, that's just going to be double what you got from the 2x4 test when you do two of them in a 4x4 test.
Wow.
And it's more than double. And it's really interesting to sort of think about why it's more than double. So I get into the physics of that. And I think it's going to be a really interesting sort of way to expand our ways of thinking about and understanding what a grow light fixture can do and how to sort of more effectively manage the grow light fixtures that you have. So I'm having a lot of fun putting that video together. The grow light testing is cool, man. I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
Stay tuned, everybody. Stay tuned for Dr. Coco in the Slack chat, growcastpodcast.com/action. Maybe the link is up there. Maybe it's not. Check it out. Join up if you can. This is Jordan River. You can tell I'm flustered. I got to run here at Growcast on Instagram. Follow us. Dr. Coco, thanks so much, my friend. Always appreciate you.
You're welcome, Jordan. I always push you a little bit long, and I just want to send grower love to everybody out there. I enjoy coming on this show, man.
No problem. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend. Everybody out there, be safe and grow smarter. That's our show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Shout out to Danny Danko and his book, Cannabis, A Beginner's Guide to Growing Marijuana. growcastpodcast.com/Danko is where you can find it. And Bloom members, when they order from Danko and they let us know at info@mygrowpass.com, they get theirs signed by Danny Danko himself. That's so exciting. growcastpodcast.com/Danko for beginner growers, for everybody. Shout out to Illinois Canna Consulting. Let's get growing. IllinoisCannaConsulting.com for all your consulting needs in the Midwest and beyond. And of course, shout out to soundcloud.com/jblanked for the ad beat. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time on Growcast. Stay safe out there. Stay healthy. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Bye-bye, everybody. We'll see you next time.